How do you do? Czechoslovakia, created after the First World War, was a stable democratic country, a great place to live. The man in this story was born there in the 30s, when Hitler came to power. This is the account of his remarkable journey away from his country, that no longer exists, to a place where his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Anschluss.
What?
Yes. Austria and Germany united. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well, if the German army occupies the country, what choice do they have?
What will your brother do? He's been worried about Hitler for years.
With good reason. We've all read Mein Kampf. Hitler plans to have a land without Jews.
Then Jews will have to move somewhere else, as they've always done.
Do you think it could happen here? I mean, Germany taking over and getting rid of the Jews?
No. Czechoslovakia is a republic. It will never happen here.
Proclaiming the good news throughout the world in 10 languages, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The homeless have many faces, old and weary, young and fearful. A down economy feeds downheartedness. Here at Pacific Garden Mission, we praise God who provides through friends who care and send financial gifts so that hundreds of homeless people have shelter. They eat nourishing meals, receive fresh clothing, and sleep in a clean, safe bunk. Everything is free, even treatment in the Mission Medical and Dental Clinic. Classes and counseling prepare them to go back into the world able to care for themselves and others. How? Through life transformation, a new heart and new purpose. And that's what this program is all about. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3049 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Franzi, I got immigration papers for you too. You have to get out.
We're not leaving.
It's dangerous to stay.
I don't blame you for leaving Austria, but we're in no danger.
Ach, you don't know Hitler.
Julius and I have talked about this, and we think it's safe here.
No place in Europe is safe with that monster running Germany.
This is our home. We have a good life here.
I'm warning you, Jews have to get out while they can.
Nothing will happen in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, surely you've heard of the pogroms in Poland.
Yes, but that is Poland.
Oh, you are fools not to come with us.
We're not leaving our homes.
The man in our story was barely 7 years old when these events shook his world. This is the testimony of how he survived, while many in his family did not. It's the true story of Thomas Graumann right now on Unshackled.
I was born in Brno, Czechoslovakia, where my family had lived for generations. Grandmother went to synagogue, but my parents were non-observant Jews. They divorced when I was 5, shortly after my brother Tony was born. Mother remarried, and we moved to a small town closer to the Austrian border. In 1938, my uncle passed through, warning us to leave, but my family stayed. All men of military age were called up, and an army unit camped on our land. One day, German tanks rolled into our village. German officers stayed in our house and gradually took over the estate.
They can't hear us, can they?
Don't raise your voice.
We have to get out.
What happened?
Today, when I took Tomas to the theater in Brno, there were hoodlums marching down the street, yelling about Jews.
Oh, just like Kristallnacht.
We hid between two theater guards who had their swords drawn, but I was scared, Julius. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
We have to do something.
I have heard of a train going to England, but it is for children only.
Really?
Yes, an Englishman raised the money, and several trainloads have already gone, mostly from refugee camps.
Children only?
Yes, it's called Kindertransport.
And the Nazis are letting them go?
Yes.
How can I let my boys go?
It is only for a while.
What happens to them?
Families there have agreed to take them in.
Oh, Julius, this is a hard choice.
Yeah, some of the rabbis are against it. They are afraid that they'll be raised as Gentiles.
Like Moses.
Yes, the Gentiles were killing Jews then too. Baby boys.
So his mother puts him in a basket on the river and hoped a Gentile would take him. Now I know how she felt.
On August 2nd, 1939, my mother and grandmother took me by train to Prague. My brother was sick and couldn't go. On the platform was a big table where I received travel papers, and a big label was tied around my neck.
That is not my name.
All right. I'll change it back to Grauman. It was easier to use your stepfather's name on the application. There. Now don't lose the sign, Tomas. Okay? And hang on to your suitcases.
Okay.
Put on your backpack now. And if you get hungry, there's food inside. You are going on a big adventure. But we will see you soon, okay?
Sure.
Goodbye, son. Give Grandma and me a kiss.
Mine was the last train out of Prague. A month later, when my brother was sent to leave Prague, Germany invaded Poland and World War II put an end to the Kindertransport. But I was only 8.5 years old and I didn't know about those things. Filled with children, the train passed through Germany and Holland, then we boarded a ferry for England, where another train took some of us to Scotland. I ended up in the home of a missionary.
Well, Tom, I suppose you can't understand me yet, but I am Miss Corson, and you will live here with me. Oh, two boys, both named Tom. I asked for girls, but we'll try it for a month and see how it goes. Today is the Sabbath. So we don't do any work, but you can put away your things. Dear Lord, help me do this for you.
The village of Conor Ferry in the northwest Scotland had only 200 residents. The local school was right next door, two rooms, one for kindergarten and the other for grades 1 through 6. As a third grader, I learned enough English to do the assignments that year. We always walked to church and Sunday school, and we went to Bible studies every week, held for military men stationed nearby. That's how I met Jimmy.
I hear you've taken in 4 soldiers, Miss Corson.
Aye, they're a wee bit crowded, but we must do our duty.
And these are the 2 lads that are camping with you?
Yes, indeed, Jimmy.
Ah. Are you good soldiers, lads?
Oh, aye.
Ah, splendid. Soldiers for God. His be the only army worth serving. Now, do you know the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Ah, splendid. I knew him when I was drafted into the army. Me, a pacifist. So they put me in the medical corps, North Africa, General Montgomery. I got very sick, and the doctor signed my death warrant.
Oh.
Aye. And they would have buried me right on the hospital compound. But God had other plans. The children of Egyptian workers, the children, mind you, prayed for me. And I recovered enough to come home with a paper that says, of no further use to His Majesty's services.
God does not agree with that, Jimmy.
Certainly not. I'm of great use to His Majesty's service, the King of Kings. Do you understand, lad?
Yes, sir.
You see, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Oh, God doesn't work the way we do.
Aye, that's right. He continues to amaze us with His grace, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
Jimmy started children's meetings that we attended, signing a pledge to never drink alcohol. He also taught Sunday school and held street meetings for the youth. In May 1940, 9 months after I arrived in Scotland, we travelled to a nearby village to hear a children's evangelist.
Do you understand, children, what I'm saying? When the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he was speaking to you. He knows the heartache you've been through. He knows the pain you've been hiding from others. He knows nothing is hidden from God. He knows, and he's calling you, and he will give you rest. The Lord Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He won't turn you away. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 39, the Lord said, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Amen. What does Jesus mean? Verse 40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
At 9 and a half, I didn't understand everything, but I understood enough to put my trust in Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. Miss Corson stirred my interest in Bible study. I was 10 when the bombing of Britain was at its worst, and we helped in the war effort, working in Victory Gardens. In spite of the Blitz, I spent one school vacation in London with my uncle, who was working with the Czech government in exile.
"This stamp is from Czechoslovakia, Tom. Keep it."
"Thank you."
We won't be getting any more until we beat the Nazis."
"They bombed Liverpool."
"I know."
"But God will save us."
"I think God has forgotten us."
"Uncle Beda, is my family all right?"
"I don't know, but my wife and children are still okay in Prague. But be glad that you got out of Czechoslovakia, Tom. You are better off here." "Here come the Nazi bombers. Come on, we must get to the tube station."
The underground subway station served as the bomb shelter, and we slept as best we could, listening as bombs exploded above us.
In a moment, we'll learn what all this meant for Tom. If you love Unshackled, you're not alone. Here are snippets of letters and email we've received. A radio station reports that a suicidal woman in Ecuador accepted Christ when the program ended. Another station manager writes, "A wonderful program, a listener favorite." This 85-year-old in Houston writes, "I love this program very much." And then came this message: "This long-silenced bird on a wire heard your broadcast tonight from a Kansas domestic violence and abuse shelter. Millions of people all over the world tune into Unshackled because they need hope and encouragement. So be of good courage and share your testimony. Tell the world what the Lord has done for you. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. You can help change someone's life. And go to our website, unshackled.org, and download the forms or write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I was 13 in 1944 when I took a test and was accepted at Oban High School, a nearby town of 7,000. I bicycled back and forth from Connell Ferry, active in Christian camps. I read many biographies about missionaries. I spent my summers at camp or at a sheep farm, where once or twice a week, I walked 5 miles to the end of the road to fetch the mail. I was 14 when the war ended.
Tom, are you in there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, A letter from Miss Corson came.
For me?
Aye. It's about your family, Tom. Ah, bad news, I'm afraid. Seems they perished in the war.
All of them?
Aye. Concentration camps.
On top of the loss, I wondered what would happen to me. The future was a big unknown because I was alone without a family or even a country. Would Miss Corson ask me to leave?
Hello, Tom. How was camp?
Okay.
You heard about your family?
Yes.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Why did I escape and not my family?
The Lord is sovereign, lad. It isn't wise to ask why. He saves some and not others.
But there must be a reason.
God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He is sovereign.
It seems so arbitrary.
Trust him. God says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
What should I do now?
Why don't you go to the kitchen and have some tea and biscuits?
I mean, what will happen to me now?
Ah, get your grades up so you can finish high school.
Here?
Where else, Tom? I thought God's plans was for me to be a missionary in Jassa, but he meant for me to look after you boys.
Since the war was over, Britain published the names of Czech nationals and their addresses, and my cousin John found me and came to visit. We took a ferry and then a bicycle trip through Glencoe. After cycling for several hours, we stopped to rest.
The Highlands are beautiful.
Oh, yes. Doesn't smoking affect your stamina?
But I'm hooked.
I made a vow years ago not to smoke or drink alcohol.
Sounds like rigid Christianity, eh?
Yes, but I'm hooked.
I was raised in Vienna, in parochial school.
You were?
Dad had a prosperous law firm, but it wasn't prudent to be a Jew. I didn't even know I was one until after Hitler defined us.
When did you leave Czechoslovakia?
After you did. To think we both lived in Britain all these years and didn't know it.
At least we're still alive.
Well, my family made it to the U.S. That's where I'm going. Why don't you go too?
How?
You might have to go to a refugee camp in Europe and apply there.
I didn't want to do that. The next summer, another cousin came from Australia to take me back with her, but I was away at an agricultural camp in northern England. I was 16 when a missionary from the Congo described his work. When I got home, I went to my room to read by the light of a little oil lamp because the village still didn't have electricity. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. When I read those words in Exodus chapter 13, I knew God was calling me to the mission field. I was the firstborn in my family. God had saved me from death in a concentration camp, and then he saved me from eternity in hell. I would serve him with my life.
So the Lord has called you to missions then?
Oh, I'm sure of it, Jimmy. So I'm reading all I can about missionaries.
Aye, there's no higher calling than to do his will.
It still scares me to get up in front of a crowd and give my testimony.
Ah, you'll get used to it.
After they asked me to speak tonight, I went home and tried to think of a good reason not to.
No. Always be quick to lift up the Lord and what he's done in your life.
I opened the Bible to where I was reading, and God said the same thing. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15.
Aye, there you have it.
Uncle Jimmy, sometimes I think I'm the only believer in my school.
Ah, the prophet Elijah felt that way, remember? But God said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Just remember, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Knees knocking, I gave my testimony that night. They invited me to speak at their street meetings, and soon boys from my class stood around the seawall where we preached and listened to me. At school, they poked fun of what I said, but I learned homiletics that way. My senior year, I tried to enroll in a Bible college, but they advised me to get some work experience first. So I entered nurse's training in a large hospital in the lowlands. A couple that were like second parents to me ministered nearby.
I'm glad you can take time out to preach with me, Tom.
Oh, that's my real calling.
People are always glad to hear the testimony of the little Jewish boy who came to Scotland and was saved 9 months later.
With a number tied around his neck and a burden tied around his soul.
Aren't you glad Jesus takes our burdens?
Oh, amen.
So tell me, how is nursing school?
Good. My roommate is a Christian. He says I'm naive about things.
Are you?
They have big parties with alcohol. I don't like that. One of the doctors had so much to drink, his breath caught fire when he got too close to the coke fire. He ended up a patient in his own burn unit.
Tell the audience that tonight.
I left the staff dinner when I saw the wine glasses, and they scolded me. Said it was mandatory.
All of life is like that, Tom. A tug of war between the world and the Lord. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
He took me with him to preach all over Lanarkshire. I spoke first and he followed up, expanding on what I'd said. During summer vacation from nurse's training, I helped Uncle Jimmy set up a children's camp for a European Christian mission. We sat on top of the tents and equipment as the truck traveled to Skipsea on the coast of the North Sea. There we set up in a farmer's field.
It's a good thing you know what to do, Tom.
All those years at summer camp.
God uses everything in our lives for his purposes.
Sure leading me through some interesting times.
What are you learning in nursing school?
Well, they have a cure for tuberculosis, but now polio is epidemic.
Any idea where you want to go as a missionary?
I'm praying about Southeast Asia.
Oh, then the Lord will lead you.
He always has. Who's going to fix meals for the children?
Two ladies have volunteered.
The ladies didn't work out, so I cooked over an open fire each evening. I helped Uncle Jimmy at his camps for several years. Then he was invited to become a children's evangelist for a European mission, and I was home for Christmas that year.
What has Jimmy decided?
He doesn't want to leave his successful business.
But he has brothers who help.
Oh, yes, but he's modernized the family's business. It's his baby.
When God calls, nothing should stand in the way.
Oh, I agree.
What about your call to missions, Tom?
Next summer, I'll leave the school and take my board exams. Then I'll apply to the Bible Institute in Glasgow.
Splendid. Stay focused.
Uncle Jimmy and I are going to the New Year's Day Faith Conference at Fort William.
So what did you think of the conference, Tom?
Oh, I liked what that one pilgrim said about Luke chapter 5. Launch out into the deep.
Aye, that impressed me too.
Then will you leave your business?
I'm going to become a full-time children's evangelist. When God speaks, a man should listen.
And obey. After I passed my nursing board exams, I started a course in orthopedic nursing. When that was finished, I was accepted at the Bible Institute in Glasgow. That was 1953, and I was 22 years old. While I was there, a famous American evangelist held a crusade, and we helped with prayer and counseling.
What did you think of the crusade?
Oh, exciting. I've never seen so many people in one place. I had the privilege of leading several to the Lord.
It's wonderful, the way he gives glory to the Lord, not to himself.
Yeah, unlike Glasgow.
What do you mean?
Well, the city motto is, let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word and the praising of his name. But all you see in the shorter version is, let Glasgow flourish.
Well, that's the world.
I've heard your testimony, Tom. God's grace.
When the local people ask for a foreign student to speak, they don't appreciate me. My English is too good.
You'll be a good missionary, though.
I hope so.
Do you think you'll go back to Czechoslovakia?
That's a communist country now.
So what? They need to hear the gospel, too.
I'll never go back to Czechoslovakia. Summer vacation, I was helping Uncle Jimmy at one of his camps when I got a letter from a friend at linguistic school in London. They needed a cook, and I was the man. What an opportunity to meet all kinds of missionaries to many countries. The next year, when I attended language school myself, I learned I was no linguist. But I finished school and then trained in tropical diseases at the University Hospital in Liverpool. Thereafter, I began deputation as a missionary. Uncle Jimmy and I travelled in a small camper.
I'm afraid we have nothing to eat, Tom.
And no money to buy food.
Seems like everybody is going through rough times.
Well, what we can do is pray and ask the Lord to provide.
Yes, let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for giving us the opportunity to share the gospel with people around Aberdeen. We pray for everyone like us who is hungry. Thou art the bread of life, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Father, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we thank you for providing our needs according to thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, what was that?
I don't know. Something outside.
Ah, look! A bag of sausages and other meat.
From the butcher, a brother in Christ.
That was a quick answer to prayer.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Unto him be glory.
Next week, we'll follow Tom's adventures and his ultimate return to his native land. Listening friend, we hope you've caught a glimpse of the joy of salvation. Abundant life can be yours when you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to save you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3049. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know if this program encourages you, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.